the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth Sunday of Easter is affectionately called Good Shepherd Sunday because every year we chant or recite one of the most comforting poems and psalms, Psalm 23. And we always also, every year in the three-year lectionary cycle, read something from the 10th chapter of John, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." But today's scriptures also treat us to a very tender and intimate look into how part of the flock is doing just a few months after Jesus' death in the little town called Joppa, not too far from Jerusalem, where Tabitha is the leader. Now, Tabitha is the only woman in the New Testament that's given the word disciple as a title. There were certainly other women in the early church, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and then the deacon Phoebe, Paul's missionary colleagues, Prisca and Junia, the list goes on. But there's something that's special about Tabitha and that she's given the title disciple, which makes me wonder who the main character of this story really is. Because it's very tempting to read the story and think that it's really all about Peter. Peter has matured a lot since his early days when he was boldly confused by Jesus. We're used to hearing that he boldly confessed Jesus. He was boldly confused by Jesus time and time again, which is why we love him, because we can relate to him so well. But after he's interacted with the resurrected Christ, his conviction about who Jesus is, the good message that Jesus brings, and his connection with the resurrection energy of Christ is very strong. And he channels this resurrection energy both through his preaching and through his passionate prayer, which we saw an example of today. His reputation preceded him, and he was in, gossip goes quickly, kind of like between Canton and Waynesville. He was in the next town over. He was in Lydda, but the folks in Joppa knew he was there, and so they sent word as soon as Tabitha died and said, "Peter, will you please come? Come quickly." He goes to them and goes right upstairs to where Tabitha's body has been washed and laid out. And it's so tender. This miracle story is so tender because it slows down and it goes into all of these wonderful details. He kneels down beside her. He prays. She opens her eyes. He gives her his hand and helps her up. So Peter is aligned with Jesus' resurrection energy for sure. And maybe that's what this story is about. But I'm not convinced of it. You could make a very good case that this story is primarily about Tabitha or Dorcas. It's kind of fun to say Dorcas, isn't it, as a name? We'll call her Tabitha. She was clearly an extraordinary woman, a leader in the church in Joppa, as I said earlier, and she led largely through small, practical acts of service. She made clothing for widows. Now, the significance of that is kind of lost on us today because in our culture, we think of clothing, it's almost disposable to us. For some of us, we'd buy a few new things every season. If you come back to our parish fair at the end of July, you'll see we've got loads of clothing because we get rid of it. But back in ancient times, clothing was precious. It was so hard to create. It took, they estimate, 20 times more energy to generate clothing than it did food. And so there's these laws in the Old Testament. You might be confused by them, but they come up several times in the Old Testament law where if you're giving somebody a security for your loan, you would give them their cloak. But whoever you're lending from has to give you the cloak back by nightfall because you only have one cloak. And if you don't have that cloak, you might freeze. So making clothing was a hugely important ministry that Tabitha had. And the other detail that's lost on us, I think to a lesser extent in this culture, is that it was for widows. You know, we know that back then widows didn't have Social Security or Medicare or the benefits we enjoy. In fact, widows were often excluded even from inheritance laws, so they were on the absolute edge of survival and dependent on other people's mercy in order to get by. And so Tabitha had a very practical ministry, caring for the basic needs of widows. And then she dies. And I suspect that she died surprisingly, just out of the blue. You get a sense of that from the text, that the community is shocked and kind of jarred. What are we going to do now? Who's going to teach us how to tune into the Good Shepherd's voice? Who's going to take the time to take the measurements and craft something beautiful for a widow who has nothing? Who's going to help the widow feel valued? What are we going to do without our Tabitha? So maybe Tabitha is the main character. But maybe, on third thought, the main character in this story is actually the little tiny fledgling flock in the town of Joppa. This group of nameless saints who, in their shock and grief, summon Peter, who they thought that maybe, just maybe, he could do something. This group of nameless saints who tenderly washed and prepared Tabitha's body, bringing it to the upper room. This group of nameless widows who loved Tabitha so much that when Peter comes, they show him, they lay out before him the beautiful cloaks that she has made. This is a community that loves one another so well. Their love is expressed in practical ways, and their grief, therefore, is so raw and palpable. But really, the main character of this story and of all of Scripture is God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Because, of course, it wasn't Peter that resuscitated Tabitha. It was Jesus' spirit, Jesus' resurrection energy flowing through him as he reached out his hand to her and helped her sit up. It was that same spirit that motivated Tabitha's good works of charity and her sewing and her caring for the most vulnerable. It was that same spirit that inspired this little community to hang together through the grief and the joy to tenderly prepare a body for burial. This story is ultimately about God's spirit, the same spirit that is here in this community of Grace Church, a community that is alive and that knows how to care for one another in love and in death. We at Grace Church know a lot about this. This last week alone, we've had 3 parishioners die and begin to experience then the promise of resurrection. But the grief is real. This is a community where we're learning and expanding very practical ways of caring for our homebound members, and putting a lot of thought into how we can expand our prayer ministries. You'll be hearing more about that in June. But we at Grace Church, we're alive with that same spirit. We know what it's like when somebody that we love and even depend on dies unexpectedly. We know how that feels. We know that initial feeling of desperation like the saints did in Joppa when they sent for Peter to come to them. What did they want Peter to do? Cry with them, help them cope, help them identify a new leader? Or maybe they wanted a miracle to make the nightmare of death to go away. You bet that's what they wanted, and that's what we want. We at Grace Church, we know the feeling of deep reverence when we recognize that a life has ended, the wonder of it. And in metaphorical ways, we know what it's like to prepare a body for burial. We do it when we prepare the sanctuary for a funeral, like the one we're having today at 1:30, or when we bake cookies and brownies and prepare the flowers for the reception or tend the memorial garden. These are all ways of us expressing our deep reverence and love for one another in life and in death. And on our clearest and most open days, just like that little community in Joppa that was overjoyed when they saw Tabitha return to them for a while before she died again, we too know the power of resurrection. We know that power. We opened our last congregational meeting on Sunday, this last Sunday, with examples. I had to interrupt. There were so many examples of little R resurrection happening in our community here and now among us. We know that resurrection energy that Peter had running through his veins and saturating his prayers, that animated Tabitha and all the Tabithas that are among us today, doing practical, quiet work, caring for people that the power structure says don't matter. We know that same resurrection energy that enables us to grieve, but not as though we don't have hope, but instead as people who are tuned in to the Good Shepherd's voice, who feed at the table of mercy, and who are clothed in the love of Christ that's woven together in community.